everyone, and welcome to the Screen Strong Families podcast, bringing you the best solutions for parents who are serious about finally eliminating screen problems in their home. This is Melanie Hempe, and Dr. Stacy is joining us for our visit today. Welcome, Dr. Stacy.
Hey, Melanie. Thanks for having me back.
Glad you're here again. If you are one of our regular listeners out there, welcome back. And if you are a new friend, we are so glad you found us. You are no longer alone or in the dark. You have finally found your people and the answers that may just change your life. So I am so excited to do this show today. And I know I say that all the time, but just bear with me a second. You know how I say that every show has the potential to change your life and be your favorite and empower you and help your kids and all that. Well, this one really will, because Dr. Stacy and I were just having a wonderful conversation last week, and we were talking about this dopamine thing that we're going to talk to you about today. We decided, you know what? We haven't really shared enough about this to our audience. And so I just want to say that today you are in for a treat. We are also going to be talking about some twisted truths, which you've heard me mention this before. We get a lot of questions from parents that center around what I call twisted truths. They seem to be true, or some parts of them are true, but not all of them, not all of the things around these truths are true. And it can be really confusing because they may be true in one area of life, but they're not true when we apply them to the screen dilemma that we're all facing. And the ones we're covering today are balance in everything is a good thing. And the second thing is, if I forbid something like screens, my child will binge and just kind of go crazy and make things worse. But before we get started, we are going to do a very simple little lesson here and take a deep dive on the power of dopamine and what dopamine has to do with screen use. And so there's two very foundational things that I think are so important when we talk about this. The first thing is about dopamine. And the second thing is about the maturity level of a child's brain. So those are the two things. Before we can answer those twisted truth questions, we need to dive into this a minute. So Dr. Stacy, you deal with, oh my goodness, this issue of dopamine probably every day in your practice, right?
Absolutely. That's what if I had a dollar for every time I said dopamine in my clinic, it would be, you know, I'd be a millionaire or more. But we spend a lot of time in psychiatry, and any psychiatrist will tell you that, talking about dopamine and what is it and why is there so much information out there about it now and sort of what do we need to know about it. So, you know, it's important to understand what dopamine is. So dopamine is a neurotransmitter that's in your brain, and it's necessary. So you have to have it. We spend a lot of time in psychiatry, you know, treating things where there's too much dopamine or not enough dopamine, or the dopamine pathways don't work correctly. So there's a lot of different things that we work with from a mental health perspective about dopamine. But I think what we want to talk about here is sort of in the average person, what is dopamine and why does it matter when it comes to screens?
Right.
So usually how I explain it is that dopamine is the brain's reward chemical. So when you do something that is rewarding, your brain releases a little bit of dopamine. And of course, it's complex, but the simplest way to describe it is just that is to remind your brain to do that thing again, because that is helping you to survive. So for example, when you eat a meal, your brain releases a small amount of dopamine. And so that's to remind you to eat, right? So you're going to feel rewarded so that you continue to eat so that you survive, right?
Yeah.
And so without it, we wouldn't do the things that we need to do to, you know, feel rewarded so that we would maintain our survival.
And so then what happens when we have too much dopamine is we can get addicted to that thing that is producing that spike. So explain how that works with
right. Addiction. So like I said, when you eat a normal meal, like a healthy meal, fruits and vegetables and some meat, right? You release a small amount of dopamine. If you eat a meal that's full of refined carbs and junk food, your brain's going to release more dopamine. Okay. Mm-hmm. And so If you translate that to screens, when you use a screen, whether you're a kid or an adult, when you use a screen, your brain does something called a dopamine dump. And so your brain releases a bunch of dopamine. So why does that matter? Well, because your brain wants that now. Okay. And the only way it's going to get it is by doing something that causes this large amount of dopamine release, which is usually screens. So when I have a kid who can't put their screen down and their parents say, you know, we've tried everything and we find them, you know, hiding in the bathroom or they steal the screens or, you know, whatever, it's their fault because they're choosing to do it, but it's not all 100% the child's fault. Their brain is actually sort of seeking out that screen because that's the only way they're going to get that much dopamine is from the screen. So when you do things like ride your bike or read a book, your brain releases a small amount of dopamine, an appropriate amount, right? But when you use a screen, it's an excessive amount. And most scientists who study this have equated it to cocaine. So it's the same sort of amount and, you know, intensity as if you're using cocaine.
So when we talk about dopamine and we're talking to parents, I think a really good way to explain this, and I did in another podcast, we talked about this with video games, is that if you can think in terms of a baseline amount of dopamine, it's, there's a baseline. We have to have it. We have to have it, but it doesn't have to be spiking all the time. But it is important for us. And I think, you know, every hour, I think they say that your dopamine kind of fluctuates and it kind of changes. And but you have to have it. So you have to have it in a baseline amount. So think about that dopamine in terms of keeping it within a certain range. And I kind of like to talk about the Goldilocks example where it's just right. It's not too much and it's not too little. So that's what our job is as parents, is to oversee this part of our kids' life. And in the past, like our parents never really had to think about this because quite frankly, unless it was drugs and cigarettes and alcohol and sex and the things that kids got into back then, you know, our normal everyday stuff just produced this baseline amount of healthy dopamine. So we didn't have to like worry about it so much. And the other thing with screen time, there are a lot of parents out there, Dr. Stacy, that really don't understand that dopamine driver with screens. And so the way that we have to explain it is that like all the tech gurus know this. This is why they don't give their kids screens. They know that these screens are designed to produce copious amounts. I mean, the spike for what some of the research says, I have some notes here, and some of the video games that are out there, the ones that are the most intriguing, not Pac-Man, I'm talking about the ones that have the most persuasive design elements, they can spike dopamine between 70 and 300% above that baseline that I'm talking about. And to give you a range, sex is about 100% above. And a video game is 300% above. Cocaine is 225% above. So when you say it's even more than drugs, that's exactly what these numbers are showing. And then I read yesterday that TikTok spikes even way above cocaine. So there's so many things written into that algorithm.
Yeah. And if you have a child that's using TikTok, I will be shocked if you haven't seen that, how addicted your child gets to TikTok.
Yes.
I mean, they're all have their issues, but that one is the one that's the most addictive.
And that's what it says in the research. And I think that next year it's going to be something else, right? It's going to continue. And so let's talk about the process just for a second, because I think this is really important to understand. First, the activity causes a lot of dopamine to flood in that reward pathway that you just talked about. So it's causing pleasure. But over time, the brain starts to adapt and says, huh, you know what? That's not that exciting anymore, because the brain is changing. So things that are pleasurable do not stay pleasurable with a lot of repetition. The brain is always seeking balance to get back to that baseline level. So this is what I think is so important to understand, that you have to understand that when your child is on that game and they're on that phone, they're getting that hit. But pretty soon that hit isn't going to be enough.
Right. And I just want to emphasize to parents that it's not just video games and social media. Right. So, I mean, this is Roblox and Minecraft and Gardenscapes and, you know, Candy Crush. And I mean, all.
And of course, pornography and everything else. And
pornography is just a whole other discussion about a significantly more increased dopamine release state. But I just want parents to understand that it's all of those things. And you've seen it in your kid. If you have a kid that uses screens, I know you've seen how driven they are to use it. Mm-hmm. But you know, like you were saying, the more you use it, the more you have to use it. The brain will sort of reset to a different baseline.
Right.
And then you have to use more of it to get that same effect. And then you kind of have to use more of it to get that same effect. Because, you know, mm-hmm. like kids, when they first get their smartphone, they're not using it 9 hours a day. They're just using mm-hmm. it a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then they start to play the games that give them the coins or have the sounds, or they get on social media and they get the likes or the DMs or whatever the things are that are sort of racketing up, you know, like a casino when you hear the sounds and then you start to, you know, keep playing it. It's the same pathway that's happening.
And then over time, that pleasure goes down.
And then you can't get pleasure from things that you used to enjoy. And that's right. where I'm seeing it, because one of the hallmark symptoms of depression is called anhedonia. So that's lack of interest in things that you used to enjoy. Well, the kid that used to enjoy knitting and now is addicted to their smartphone is not enjoying knitting anymore mm-hmm. because there's not that, you know, significant dopamine release. And so all they want to do is be on their phone.
And because they're in like a dopamine deficit state, because what happens is their dopamine gets so upregulated. Now your brain says, oh, wait a minute, we've made too much and now we got to start making less. So now you've got less dopamine and now you're unhappy even at your baseline. That's what you're Absolutely. Talking about. That's where knitting no longer does it for you. And ironically, as I go to get on the show today, my kids are home and they're in high school and one of them is out fishing. And I just heard him tell his brother, because his brother said, did you catch a fish? Because we have a pond kind of down in our backyard or accessible. And he said, did you catch a fish? And Evan said, you know what? I did. And you know, I forgot how great that feeling is when you right? catch a yeah. fish. And so he stayed out there a whole nother like 2 hours trying to catch the second fish. And right. oh my gosh, it was like perfect to explain this, because see, they get dopamine when they do those things. And so their baseline dopamine is really rich. And I'm not trying to brag about my kids. This is taking lots of pain and suffering in my house to figure this out. So please listen to me. With my oldest son, as y'all know, that, you know, we thought this video game was providing all these wonderful things for him because he loved it so much. But what we did is we kind of erased that baseline. So my oldest never would have gotten a dopamine hit out of catching a fish, right? That never would have been exciting to him. And so now what happens with the boys, since they don't have extra ridiculous amounts of dopamine spiking in their brain all the time, they do get excited about catching a fish. They get excited about reading a good book, about finishing, you know, the Rubik's Cube or doing some other thing like that. And that's really our message here and our goal. And the reason why I'm so excited that you're on today, Dr. Stacey, to explain this a little bit better, because I really do feel like this is the foundation principle for everything we do at Screen Strong and all the recommendations that we make. We need our kids to fall in love with those activities that hover around that baseline level. So what happens then when a child or you have a patient or someone comes in to say, you know, nothing natural and normal is really fun to me anymore. I need something new all the time, because really that's what's happening, right?
Right.
They need this constant, more potent amount of dopamine in order just to feel good.
Right. And another thing that comes with that loss of interest is irritability. So like when they don't have that dopamine, when they're in this dopamine deficit sort of state, adults get really irritable because they're seeking that reward and they can't get it, right? Because
right.
if they're not back on their screen. So, I mean, this is sort of the thing that we struggle with in mental health treatment, is that you've got to get off your screen if you want me to treat your depression and anxiety, because that could be the cause of it. And I don't want anyone to hear that and take that lightly. Like, this is, I mean, there is depression, anxiety that's not screen related, but this is an epidemic. I mean, it's making it worse and worse.
Well, most dopamine illnesses, I guess, if you might say, or maybe we should word it the other way, and most addictions or mental health problems, I can only imagine, I'm not a psychiatrist, but I can only imagine that they are related somehow to this science around dopamine. Because if you get up in the morning and you're not motivated to do your job and you stay home, you're going to start getting depressed. And then all the things in your life and your purpose is going to go down. And then that makes you more angry. It's like this whole spiral thing.
Absolutely. And this screen addiction, which I want everyone who's listening to be clear, that the majority of kids that are using screens are addicted to them.
Yes.
And the way you can know is, I mean, you can visit the screen.
Try to take them away.
Take them away and see what happens. And I guarantee you it'll be very eye-opening. I don't mean take it away for a day. I mean lose the things for a week and see what happens. And you'll see how scary that is, how there's true addiction that's happening. I mean, with adults too.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really, really significant.
But let's talk a minute about the young brains, just like what you're saying. Okay. So we put adults over here in another category. We'll deal with them later. I want to talk about why we are being so serious today about this topic of this foundational truth that is underlying the screen dilemma in our whole entire culture. I feel like if more parents understood this, it would be so much easier for them to deal with this in their home. So what is it about young brains or even preteen brains, teen brains? Why are they damaged by this excessive amount of dopamine?
Well, so first off, I want to encourage every parent to read The Teenage Brain.
Yeah.
It's an amazing book and it does a wonderful job explaining it. But one thing to know about preteen and teenage brain, you know, kids and teenagers and their brains, is that they're in this huge period of growth.
Yeah.
And so we've talked about this before, I'm sure, about all the neural pruning that goes on. So if you think of the brain as like an arbor, like trees that are sort of growing these branches that connect with each other. And it's sort of like this big forest that's developing so that all of these branches can communicate with each other. That is significant in the way that's happening in the teenage years. So the teenage brain can learn amazingly. So this is like the time to teach and to learn. But they can learn bad things too.
Yeah.
And so the other thing that happens is that the pathways that aren't being used sort of get pruned away. So if you think about it, like sort of shaping your kind of trees and, you know, stuff in your yard, they get pruned away and then they're no longer there. And so we have this time where all these social skills are rapidly developing. And if you don't practice that and you don't use those skills, then that goes away. And so, you know, there's this evidence now that kids and teenagers don't get together like they used to. So they don't play in person. They don't like spend time face to face like they used to. And I think we're going to see a serious sort of problem years down the road from that, because they're not practicing their face-to-face sort of skills.
Right. And so their brain is actually morphing to these activities and changing. We talk a lot about this in our parent course, and we're actually writing this into our student course as well. So if you're listening, you'll be able to get more and dive deeper into this. It's this period of this huge growth. And whenever something is going through a metamorphosis of growth, and then you put something toxic in there, like dopamine that's way off the chart, it will change that development. Plus, kids are also seeking this low effort, high reward activity all the time. They're at their highest potential for risk taking, for doing all these dangerous things, and not having their frontal cortex engaged where they can actually put the brakes on. And in the book, you're talking about The Teenage Brain. That's what Frances Jensen talks about, how it's like all accelerator, no brakes, all accelerator, no brakes. And this is the reason why statistics tell us that 90% of all adult addictions begin in the teenage years, because if they're exposed to addictive things in their teen years, it's going to have a much greater impact on their brain.
Right. And, you know, what we need for our preteens and our teenagers to do is to be able to, what I like to call, wait well. So we want these kids to learn how to wait well. And what I mean by that is be able to have the patience to sort of do tasks that are mentally challenging and where you don't get instant gratification. And so if you have kids and you've kind of seen this happen, especially if you have a child who, you know, in your family culture, you don't do screens, and they, maybe the kids used to come over and they would play American Girl, for example, right? And then you get to that fifth and sixth grade year where the girls start to get devices. Then when the girls come over, they don't want to play American Girl anymore because their brains aren't used to imagination and playing with their hands in that way and sort of like doing that imaginative play. They want to watch TV, or they want to play a video game or do something on their phone. Same with Legos. We see that with boys with Legos. They sort of stop wanting to do that, and instead they want to be on their devices. And so, you know, that the brain is seeking out different behaviors that are not as good for their brain development.
And when they are exposed to these high dopamine producing machines, is what I call them, when they're exposed to that, then it's very, very difficult to get them back to baseline. And that's where all the conflict happens in a home. Just the child doesn't want to do anything else. I get these calls all the time, you know, but this is what he loves. This is all he wants to do. He doesn't want to ride his bike and play in the backyard and be with his friends and do his homework. He doesn't want to read. He doesn't want to hang out with our family anymore, because that is all lame. And it is now, because it's dim, it's dull. Who wants to do that when I can have this huge dopamine surge? But the problem, again, that everyone needs to understand is that cannot be maintained. That amount of dopamine that they find on their screens will have to come down. What goes up must come down. It will come down in an equal and opposite direction dip. And that's where we get, I mean, honestly, Dr. Stacy, that's why you go to work every day.
Right. And I wish I would be out of business, you know? I mean, but it's going in the total opposite direction of putting me out of business, for sure. Yeah. And, you know, we want our kids to want to do their homework, to want to learn in school, to want to play outside, go on a hike, ride their bike, read a book, hang out with their family, do things, you know, face to face. I mean, I've yet to find a parent that doesn't want that for their kid. And so what we have to understand is that if we are allowing these high dopamine activities, all those other things, like you said, the kids are going to think those are lame. Because to their brain, that's not exciting anymore. You know, and the other thing about the teenage brain is it's very overreactive because it's growing so fast.
Yes.
So, you know, I'm sure we can all think back to when we were teenagers, like, I can't believe I did that. Like, think about the thing. Like, I can't believe I did that. But that's because the teenage brain is like seeking that next exciting thing. And so when you put that screen in front of them, that just exponentially makes that so much more dangerous.
And they overreact so much. And this is why parents are freaking out, because their teenagers are screaming at them saying, you know, don't you dare take my screen. They're like completely overreacting.
Right. But if you put it on the extreme end of things, that's why you hear about, you know, a 13-year-old who, you know, ends his own life because of something somebody said on the internet to him.
Right.
You know, I mean, normally if somebody said something to your face, you know, that was bad or made you feel bad about yourself, you wouldn't automatically go to wanting to end your life.
Right.
But because of that sort of dopamine and drive, they can, you know, get sort of sucked into that mentality. And it's very dangerous.
Because in the previous decades, if someone said something really ugly to you, you could come home and be back in your safe place where your kind of baseline dopamine activities are. And all of a sudden you start feeling better about yourself. But when you don't have that luxury, when you have been living high, you know, as a kite on your dopamine spikes from Call of Duty and Grand Theft Auto, and then whatever TikTok you're watching, you don't have the luxury of having that calm baseline amount of dopamine, and you do crazy things. And that's where we have so many parents even listening now to our podcast, they're listening. They found us because their kid is like in that state and they don't understand why. And this is such great information. If y'all are listening and you need to like listen to this episode again to get this again, have your husband listen to this, your wife or whoever's taking care of your kids, your grandparents, your parents, to say, look, it's not about me being a mean parent. This is a real thing that's happening to their brain. This is not something that is just the fad of the day. This is happening. And it's true for all kids. It's true for all human beings. If your kid is not immune to this dopamine effect. Some kids, though, I will tell you, get bored with video games. So they walk away. My son always said, Mom, tell your audience that they know their kid's going to be okay if they get bored after 20 minutes. And that is sort of a very interesting scientific little fact he came up with on his own. He's absolutely correct. Some kids just, they're not going to get dopamine from a video game. They're not going to be interested, but I will venture out and say, as far as a phone goes and as far as social media, I can't imagine too many kids that are just going to walk away from that.
Right.
Another thing to remember is there is no drug or vaccine to fight against this high level of dopamine, really. I mean, for all practical purposes, it's like the law of gravity. It affects everyone regardless of how smart or how mature your child is. So I think that's one of the main things I wanted to clear up. I'm so glad you got on here with me today to talk about that before we dive into these other things. The second foundational truth that I think is super important is really quick and short. It's the truth that kids need parents. They're not adults yet. And we hurt them when we expect them to be adults and manage all these highly dopamine producing activities by themselves. They need protection. And I don't know how to say that in a nicer way. I don't know what you tell your parents when they come in and they're unknowingly handing over all this. It's a drug, right? And they don't understand. But we know that we learned, it took us, 30 years to figure out smoking, was bad. Well, it didn't take us 30 years. It took us 30 years of raising awareness so people would quit smoking, even though now, smoking is still a problem. But we know that smoking causes problems. We know that you have to wear seatbelts. You know you need to put sunscreen on. We know drinking isn't good for teenagers, and we know drugs are not good for teenagers. So now what we have to do, Dr. Stacy, is raise awareness around why screens are not good for their brain. And it doesn't have to be just a parent value decision. In fact, that's really not what it is any more than these other things are.
Right. And all these things, as parents, we get very defensive about our choices for our kids when it comes to screens. And I think the first thing we need to do as parents is we have to admit to ourselves that we caused this problem, because no 10-year-old is out there buying a smartphone for themselves, right? Mm-hmm. So I, as the parent, bought that for my child. If I made that decision and I caused the problem. And so when we do that as parents, then we feel defensive about it. And we feel like we need to defend our choice. But I'm saying we want you to feel encouraged that now you have the knowledge, because you didn't have it before. I mean, the advertising industry, they're after us. The tech industry, they're after us. They want our money. They want to sell us as a commodity to other advertisers. And so you're up against a machine. And so mm-hmm. I think we just have to admit, like, okay, I didn't know. Just like, my parents would say when they smoked around us when we were kids in the car with the windows up, we didn't know. And you think now, like, how could you not know?
But it's how could true. You do that?
Yeah, it's true. They didn't know. So now we can say, if you've listened to this far into the podcast, you can say, I know now. Yeah. And because I know, I'm going to have to make a different decision. And so you have to reset your family culture to be like, okay, we're going to do what's healthiest, right?
Yeah.
And so we're going to do the right thing, just like you said, with smoking and seatbelts and sunscreen and alcohol and drugs. We're going to do the right thing to protect their brains. And it's our job as parents to parent them until they're launched on their own. And then if you ask my parents, they'd say, well, you're still parenting them after that.
But, yeah, that's true. But yeah. Our kids depend on us to protect them. And that's where this, the M stands for maturity. We have to understand that they are not mature. And no matter how much you talk to your kids, no matter how many conversations you have about all the things that you try to have about social media and all the dangers of all this stuff, it doesn't matter. No conversation will get rid of the dopamine. I promise you. There is no conversation that will make their dopamine come down to baseline levels.
Well, a lot of parents and organizations now are saying, well, you know, we just need to do digital literacy and digital citizenship. And like, learn, this is just part of our culture now. And this is how it's going to be. No, I stand up against that. I don't think that that's true. You know, we're not teaching our 10-year-olds how to have sex.
Right.
You know, we're not. And that sounds real inflammatory, but I'm just saying, like, we're not doing that with our kids. Just like we're not teaching them how to smoke. We're not teaching a 9-year-old kid to drive a
how to drink responsibly.
Right. We are doing what we can to protect them until their brain and their body is mature.
Yeah.
And we know that's 25 years old. I mean, their brain is not mature the day they start high school.
No.
Or the day they start seventh grade, or when they're in fifth grade, or whatever it is. And we have to accept that we have to parent them until they're mature.
And they desperately need protection. They desperately need parents. They don't need us to overprotect them. They need us to open the whole world of normal dopamine producing activities.
When I've said this over and over again, so, you know, last May, our family was profiled in a story in the Washington Post. Mm-hmm. And it was really interesting because there were thousands and thousands and thousands of comments because everyone, you know, has a lot of opinions. And there were a number of those comments that would say, sort of criticize our family for being too controlling, right, over our kids.
Yeah.
And I love that comment because it really shows how sort of twisted our mentality is as a culture, because we're not controlling our kids. Those phones are controlling kids, right? And so by not allowing that as part of our family culture, we're allowing our kids not to be controlled.
Right.
And so I think we have to really take a step back and look at things. You know, do you remember, I think it was in the 90s, there was the whole fat-free phenomenon when it came to nutrition, where you should eat everything fat-free and then gained all this weight because they just ate sugar all the time.
They ate sugar. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think we're in sort of one of those phases now where it's like, oh, everybody has to have a phone and it's normal to have a phone.
That fat-free campaign is a twisted truth. It's twisted.
Right.
It's sort of true in one respect, but not true altogether. And that's what I want to dive into, these two more things as we start to get through our time together, and just remember what we've covered so far is the dopamine science and the maturity. So I was thinking a minute ago that we could just say DM, like direct message. You can remember that DM. So when you're out talking to your friends, you can remember D and M. You remember dopamine and you remember maturity. And those two things are like going to 90% kind of cover the foundational principles that we are talking about at Screen Strong and the foundational principles that every parent needs to understand. It is not an emotional argument. It is not an opinion. These are just very clear facts. And so the twisted truths that we're going to talk about today, the first one is about balance. This thing we hear, Dr. Stacy, about balance in everything, right? That we must balance screen time because we just balance is a good thing. Balance is just a principle. And what I'm going to say and just kind of set up for you to talk about is that it's twisted. And the reason why it's twisted is because it's kind of true sometime when you're talking about some things, but it's not true for all issues. It's true for things like how much candy. Okay, you should balance candy. You shouldn't have candy for every meal. Or how about this one? How many pets should we have? There has to be a balance there. We can't have 15 cats, although I know one person who does, and it's not in balance. But you can't balance things that are bad for us. You might want to balance a curfew or balance other things in your kid's life. But when it comes to screen time, what I know is that, like what we just made clear, everybody understood that screen time is an addictive activity. And what we know is we do not balance addictive things or activities. And if you think of it in terms of this way, that we balance good things in our life, but we don't balance bad things in our life.
Yeah. And this is the thing, is that I like to remind parents, because I do hear that, especially in my clinic, from parents about, well, you know, if I, you know, we don't use it at all, then they're not going to know how to use it. Right. So we have to balance everything in moderation. And, you know, and that's a real sort of trendy kind of statement. Right.
Right.
The thing is that regardless, if your kid does not have their own screen, their tablet or smartphone or whatever, they're still getting plenty of screen time.
Exactly. So
they're getting screen time at school. They're learning how to use a screen in the classroom. They're learning how to use a screen when you go to the restaurant, they make you order on a screen. You know, I mean, there's, it's not like they're going to walk up on a screen and hold their hands out and not know what to do. Another thing is, all these things are intuitive. I mean, they're made to be able to just walk up and use them. So I don't really understand this sort of idea about balance, you need to balance screen. We're not balancing letting kids, you know, little kids have sex. We're not balancing letting kids do cocaine or smoke cigarettes, right, or drink beer. Those are adult things. And I think from a medical perspective, as a psychiatrist, that screens, and I'm meaning handheld screens that have internet access, are adult things.
Right.
So I don't think that you balance adult things with kids.
Right. And if we can, again, go back to what we just covered a few minutes ago about this baseline area, the screens that exist in that baseline dopamine area would be what you're talking about. The homework screens, the school screens, Excel, Word, PowerPoint, those types of things, even a family movie, that's going to fit in that area where there's some dopamine. It goes up a little bit and it goes down a little bit and it goes up and down and up and down, but it doesn't ever spike up past the amount of dopamine you get from cocaine. All right. This is how you balance. You balance the good use of screens. You do not balance the crazy addictive uses. And those are getting worse every day. Social media is more addictive now than it was, you know, 5 years ago, because the attention engineers are learning more and more and more. So that is, if as a parent listening, and maybe you're new, or maybe you've been following us for a while, I think this is going to be just that moment in time when some things really come together for you on this, because I think just the explanation of the dopamine. And I feel like, Dr. Stacy, it's just so concrete. Like, I don't have to be emotional and feel like, oh, I'm a bad person for not letting my kid have a dopamine spike that's, you know, greater than sex. I mean, I don't feel bad about that for some reason.
And I'll tell you, I don't feel bad about my teenagers not having screens. Like, I don't feel bad about it, because I actually feel really good about it.
Yeah.
And I know that I'm protecting their brains to the best I can to allow them to grow and branch and flourish to the best of their ability while they're young. There's no guarantees in this life, right? There's no guarantees.
But you're increasing the odds. You're definitely increasing your odds.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
And I don't feel bad about it either. And just so you know, again, if you're kind of new to Screen Strong, we do not have smartphones either for our kids. Like, of course, my husband and I have a smartphone. The kids do not have smartphones. They're in high school. They're about to graduate. They will go to college. I'm not sure what they're going to do at that point, but I'm certainly not worried about that. They also, in our home, because of everything that happened with my oldest son, we also have a game-free home, because I know that video games today are not what they used to be 20 years ago. And I know that that slippery slope is so slippery and it's so steep. And just in one week, you can get off track really, really quick. And we are more interested in promoting all of the things that provide that natural dopamine, those natural good feelings and those natural endorphins, like Evan catching his fish today, which was so timely that I'm sitting here doing this podcast. So those are the things that we're focusing on. And we realize, like Dr. Stacy does, that there's just not enough time to get all those things in. Like, I want them to be excited over that natural stuff that happens in life and those normal rites of passages that they need to go through. But Dr. Stacy, just what you just said and just what I'm saying here about holding back and hitting the brakes on this kind of leads us to our twisted truth number two for the day, our final discussion we're going to have. And this twisted truth says, if I forbid something, my child will binge later. So if I don't give them a screen now that they want, they will rebel. And we all know about this teenage rebellion thing. And so heaven help us, we want to stay far away from that. So I think this is confusing for a lot of parents. What do you say to the parent that says, I'm going to make it worse if I forbid it now?
You know, I mean, this is probably the most common thing I hear parents say is that if I don't let them play video games now, then when they go to college, they're going to spend all their time playing video games and that's all they're going to do, or on the internet or social media, whatever it is. And, you know, I'll be honest with you, that might be the case, but I bet it won't be. And I'll tell you why. It's because you've allowed them all of those years of brain growth and development that are allowing their brain pathways to build in their social network the things that they like to do that aren't screen based, right? So the kids that love to run and the kids that like to hike and the kids that like to tinker and do things with their hands and build things and play outdoors, they're going to continue to want to do those things because that's what brings them joy and that's what they've sort of learned how to do. And we haven't seen that backed by research, this idea that don't give them something, then they're going to binge on it later. We just haven't seen that. You know, and let's talk about it in, because there's a lot of research that's done about addiction. And what we know is that the vast majority of people that are addicts when they're older, you know, like over 18, alcoholism or drug addicts, drug addiction, used drugs when they were teenagers.
Yeah. 90%, 90%. It's a huge amount.
I mean, this can happen, but the majority of people do not become alcoholics if they had their first drink at 30 years old or whatever it is. You know,
that's,
I mean,
right.
It's like when these pathways are so hyperactive and growing so fast is when you set these things in motion.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that. You know, of course, there's always an anecdotal case, right? There's always the kid that goes to college and they, you know, go off the rails and, you know, whatever happens. But imagine if that kid who has that propensity to do that at college would have done that when they were 12 and 13. Think about how much more years of addiction and problems and, you know, dopamine pathway issues would have led up to that.
Yeah, the risk is a whole lot higher when it's paved early. And honestly, what happened to my son is the direct opposite of this. So, you know, I didn't forbid video games. And part of it was this. I will tell you, this was one of the biggest things is I was worried that I didn't want to make it like forbidden because then he would want it more. And look what happened to our family. He went to college. He did not go to class. He stayed in his room and he gamed. And the reason why he did that is because that's what he had been doing for the previous 6 years. He had paved those pathways in his brain. He was most comfortable with that. He was least comfortable with being awkward around having to go and make new friends and do all the things you have to do when you get to college. So I, for one, don't believe this at all. This is a twisted truth. If you are going to forbid something and you are a mean, hateful, ugly, disgusting parent, okay, maybe your kids won't like you. And I don't know, maybe they will, you know, decide that they don't want to, you know, live with the values or with the instructions that you have given them. But the key here is that we don't forbid anything. And I get kind of emotional about this because when I read things in our Facebook group sometime, or even just out and about, or I get on a radio interview and someone says, you know, you're overprotecting, you shouldn't forbid these things from your kids. I really take offense to that because we are not forbidding anything in our house. And I just hate that word. That is not the screen strong, you know, word. That is not what we do. We are like coaches for our kids.
Absolutely.
Now.
And this is the thing, Melanie, is that we have to talk to our kids about it.
Right.
You know, it's just like if you have a feeling about sex before marriage, everybody's got their opinions about that. You're going to talk to your kids about that. And you're going to say, this is what I think is right. These are the reasons. Or smoking. This is what I think is right. And these are the reasons. You're not going to say, you know, that's forbidden and we're never going to do that. And it's, you know, terrible.
Right.
You know, you're going to tell them.
You're going to give them the reasons.
Absolutely. And it's all about communication.
Yeah. And it's, and you make it part of your family culture and you make life fun. You know, our life over here is so much more fun that we're not fighting about video games all the time. And so this is a complete twisted truth. It is a myth. It is a lie that if you put that pause button and not have video games and smartphones that your kids are going to think that you're forbidding something. I know that if you're new to this whole concept, it feels like that. It feels like all of a sudden you're the bad guy and now you're taking all these things away from your kids, but you are not. That is not what's happening. You are giving them your time, you're giving them your heart and your soul, and you're saying, we care about you more than anything. And we are just learning that this stuff is setting you up for failure, and it's setting you up that, you know, for you, so you won't be successful as you leave the house. And we want to do everything we can. And you do have to do your part, and you do have to spend time, and you have to figure out, what are the things that my kid is going to like? He loved gaming. So what can I do now? Because it may not be reading a book. That may not be what that particular kid likes. So you're going to have to dive in and find some things that he likes, but it's never about the spirit of forbidding or being mean. That is an authoritarian type of parenting style that we totally do not support over here, but you are the authority and you are the coach. And I think everyone listening can totally understand that difference, that you are here as a team, that you're on Absolutely. A team with your kids and you're coming alongside them to help them. It is not a mean-spirited thing or a decision to take and make some changes in your house. And remember, it is all about giving. It's not about taking. And I think that will really help. So this idea of forbidding something and then your child will binge later, you have to remember as parents too, that we cannot operate out of this kind of fear. When we parent out of this fear, this place of being scared of our kids, we have lost the battle. Just like a good coach, if they get scared of their team, they will never be able to coach that team. You have to be the parent. You have to be smarter. You are smarter. You have to do the research, and you have to listen to people like Dr. Stacy, and you have to listen to Screen Strong and just continue to get the facts and to get comfortable with the science and make it about the science. You have so much that you can hook onto, right? That there's so much that backs up this lifestyle that is very non-emotional. We don't have to make it emotional. I just want to thank you, Dr. Stacy. Oh my gosh, these are the hardest questions. I mean, aren't they? They're just so hard. But the truth is really the opposite when I look at this twisted truth, that they're not going to binge and go crazy, and they're not going to hate you. They're going to be like, oh my gosh, my parents, look what they did. This was really hard.
I mean, I see a lot more, Melanie, the other direction, where kids will be, I really resent my parents for giving me this device because That's right. I got into porn, or I got into, you know, inappropriate stuff on direct messaging, or, you know, kids developing eating disorders because of, you know, taking pictures of themselves. I mean, you know, fill in the blank. So I really see a lot more the other way where, it's hard in the moment, and it's hard, you know, I mean, like I said, I have 2 13-year-olds and a 16-year-old, and my 13-year-olds want a phone. They're
all the time.
They want one, and, you know, but it's, you just have to coach your kids.
Yeah. And don't have the spirit of forbidding and, you know, you against them and all that. You got to gather them up, and you've got to get them back under your wing and on your team, and just do our 30-day detox. That will really help. And all the research scientists out there and all the physicians out there agree, it takes a month to reset that part of their brain when you start taking the screens and switching things around. It does take a month. So the first few weeks, just don't even bat an eye. It's going to be tough. I'm not going to lie. But you can't throw the towel in. You can't get discouraged. You have to expect that it's going to be tough. And then with every single addiction out there, this is what happens. By that third week, that brain, after it's kind of dipped down and gotten into the low levels of dopamine, it starts to come back up again. And that's what you're looking for. And that's what we have our Screen Strong Connect group and on our website. You can go in there and talk to parents that are going through this. We do have our Facebook group still. We're trying to shift over because, you know, Dr. Stacy, I don't even know what's going to happen with Facebook. Who knows? Because we certainly don't have control over that. We're trying to help parents. So we are here to help you. Any encouragement, Dr. Stacy, that you can leave our audience with today? Man, you know, this might be the first time that somebody's really understood that they've been allowing this huge amount of dopamine to be flooding their kids' brains, and they didn't even know they were doing this.
One, a lot of the stuff these kids are getting into on these devices, you're never going to know about as right. a parent, because they're going to feel shame and they're not going to tell you. But my encouragement is this. If your kid is 10 or your kid's 13 or your kid's 16 and you have given them a smartphone and you hear this or you read stuff recently and you feel like, oh, that was a big mistake, you can take it away.
Yeah.
So I want the parents to feel empowered, just like a coach does. If something's not going right in the game, they make adjustments.
Yeah.
You can take it away. And there's going to be a time period of readjustment that's going to happen when you do that. But I want every parent who's listening to feel empowered to make that change. Just like with any other rule in your home. If it's not working, you make a change.
Hmm.
If you need help with that or you have questions about that, that's what we're here for. I mean, we're here to help parents, to support parents, to make the right choice. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard parents say, I just regret it. I regret it. I regret it.
I
make
know.
The regret stop today. You know, make a different choice and sit down with your kids. If you've got a kid who's a little bit older, sit down with them and do the Screen Strong course together. Our kid course is going to be out soon, but most teenagers can do the adult course with their parent, you know, and sit, you know, and explain it to them.
And I think once they understand this dopamine thing, they're going to get it. They're going to understand that. And it's a very logical place to start the conversation. And it's very, very life-giving when you understand what's happening. I feel like a huge weight is going to get lifted off your shoulder. And my encouragement also, I love all that you said. My encouragement is also to take one day at a time. And this is what you do with every addiction that you're trying to come out of, is you don't look at what's going to happen next month and 6 months and a year from now. You look at tomorrow. What can you do today to help tomorrow? And it always has to be done just one day at a time. So I want to encourage parents, do not get overwhelmed. Just do something, because every day that goes by, if your children are just getting, you know, tons and tons of dopamine, they're getting further and further away from that baseline, you know, just do something to get them back to that baseline so they can start enjoying life again. And, you know, Dr. Stacy, we have seen studies that show very clearly that kids are so much happier when they don't have social media.
Absolutely.
We're not making this stuff up. This is what we know. And it's like coming together, I think, in our culture. I think it's becoming so much easier to talk about this and to make changes than it was even like 5 years ago or something.
Yes. Yeah.
So thank you so much for coming, Dr. Stacy. We will have you back, of course.
Thanks for having me.
And thank everyone for listening today. This has been a really deep sort of discussion. Thanks for hanging in there. If you have any questions, email me. It's melanie@screenstrong.com, or connect with us in that on our website at screenstrong.org. You can get in there and you get in the connect group, and it's free. That's a free forum on our site. Dr. Stacy is in there. I'm in there. In fact, we're going to start doing some little videos in there for you guys, for your questions. Your homework is to share this podcast with your partner, your spouse, your husband, your wife, your friends, and just get them to listen to this and just kind of have some discussions around it. There's a lot of good books to read on dopamine. Dopamine Nation is one that's fairly new. Be sure and look at our course. I know we talk about this all the time, but it's a way to get that continuing education that you need. And remember, we do have our student course coming. So we are going to actually have this dopamine material in there that you can sit down with your kids as young as like 9, 8 years old, to sit down and go over this with them. So you're on the same page. Remember, we've got your back, and we are here to help you not fall for twisted truths anymore. So until next time, stand up for your kids, stand out from the crowd, and stay strong.